Hey guys, and welcome back aboard the Galileo 3. We're finally back from a little winter's break. As you might know, I'm Rom. This is Sydney. How are you doing, Sid? Are you excited to discuss The Nick of Time today?
Oh man, I love this episode. I love it so much. It's so good. It's like everything about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and jump right into the summary, Roman.
Yes, of course. The plot of this episode is actually really simple. So the crew visits the planet Psi 2000. A crew member gets affected by an unknown virus, unknown disease virus, and he brings it aboard the Enterprise, and everyone is infected and gets crazy on the ship. So that's basically the plot of the episode.
That might be the shortest summary you ever have, but it was very informative.
So let's jump right into the teaser of the episode. In the opening shot, we see the Enterprise orbiting the planet Psi 2000, which is about to rip apart, actually. So it's dying. The planet is dying.
Right. And right away, we learn that the Enterprise's mission there is to pick up a scientific party below and observe the disintegration of the planet. Right. So apparently it's...
But we learn in the teaser what happened to the party down there on the station. So Spock and Lieutenant Junior Grade Joe Tomolden are beaming down into the research station on the planet, which is covered with a layer of ice and frost.
Mm-hmm. Both of them have this silly looking red suit on, environmental suit.
Which is actually, here comes my first background information in trivia.
Oh, yay.
Which is actually made from shower curtains.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's shower curtains?
Yeah.
I can hear that whenever they're moving and stuff. I can recognize that actually that you say that.
So we see that the crew is actually dead down on the planet.
Yes.
Covered with frost and ice, and this one mannequin, this one person, this woman laying on the ground, it's actually a mannequin, was a puppet.
I could see that, but it looks so funny.
And later, Bob Justman displayed it in his office along with the salt creature from The Man Trap and the two Gorn costumes from Arena. And which is pretty funny, Justman placed the naked mannequin under a shower to scare unsuspecting visitors in the restroom. That's
cool. A good one. Yeah. That is such a good one.
So then we see Joe taking off his glove to itch his nose. So
yeah, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Spot. He literally then comes in. Yeah, I know. And Spock's like, be certain we expose ourselves to nothing. Yeah. And then the Joe doesn't say a word. He's just like, okay, I just exposed myself, but whatever.
To probably deadly virus. So this red fluid is flowing towards his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So he puts the glove back on, and Spock reports to Kirk that all station personnel is dead. And Kirk asks what caused it. So Spock says that it's unknown. It is nothing we've dealt with before, and that's where the teaser ends in this. The first half of the episode is starting with Captain's Log 1704.2. It's strange that he says zero instead of he always said
I think he normally says and we hear that as Spock and Joe are beamed back up by Scotty.
Right.
But Scotty tells his engineer to decontaminate the two after they beam in. Rather than in the Next Generation, the transporter actually did it, right?
Yeah.
Manually.
I had to do that extra, yeah.
Yeah.
So they go through the medical... After that, they go through a medical examination in sickbay by Dr. McCoy. And then we learn
that Bones is back. Yay.
Yeah, Bones is back. Of course, he's back. Right with a great quote. So he says that Spock's pulse is 242. His blood pressure is practically non-existent. if you call like that green stuff in your in your veins blood. Yeah.
I love their two banter back and forth.
And then Spock says, "The readings are perfectly normal for me, Doctor. Thank you."
Yeah, so he's like, "And as for my anatomy being different from yours, I'm delighted."
Yeah. Oh, Spock. Yeah.
Yes, I love that part. I love those two banter. Mm. So right out after that, we see Joe rubbing his arm,
right,
as if it like hurts or something.
And sweat, yeah. And we see,
Kirk enters, and Joe keeps just saying like how terrible it was down there. Yeah. And then of course Nurse Chapel enters.
Yeah. So
and first after Kirk, appearance, right?
Right, it is actually. Or, yeah, it is. Yeah.
As Nurse Chapel.
As Nurse Chapel, yeah. We saw her before as number one, of course.
Yes. In the cage.
Yeah, in the cage. After Kirk left, Joe looks at his hand and rubs him and sweats. And we hear this hissing sound effect, this
this little rattle
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like from a rattlesnake or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in the briefing room, Kirk, Spock, Bones, and Scotty look through the tapes from the planet's surface.
Don't forget about Janice.
Yeah.
She's there, too.
Janice is there, too. Right, yeah. Forgot about her. So.
Kirk, he somehow speculates that the dead were, like, irrational or drugged. I don't know where he's coming from, but, like, it's exactly, like, I don't know how he saw that, but that was a pretty good speculation.
Yeah, it is.
I guess his basis, though, is how the engineer seems to be oblivious to everything, the strangled woman, and the crewman with a phaser pistol in his hand.
Right, yeah.
So it's pretty good speculation, if I do say so myself.
Okay.
But my favorite part is the man fully clothed, frozen to death.
Frozen under the shower, yeah.
Kirk's like...
taking a shower, yeah.
Yeah, the Kirk's like, if the image wasn't so ugly, it'd be laughable. Always looking for the hilarity in things.
Yeah.
So Kirk asks for theories. And Bones reports that it couldn't be drugs or intoxication because it didn't show up in the, the bio scans?
Right, something like that.
Yeah. And Spock's ever so logical brain.
Of course.
He suggests space madness.
of course.
I like how logical that sounds. But the tricorder didn't register. He's like, the tricorder didn't register anything that would cause it. And Scotty's like, well, okay, tricorders only register what they're programmed to register.
Right.
But Spock fires back that space is still filled with the unknown, and the tricorders only register what they're programmed to. So little...
That's right, yeah.
Smarter than you, little banter right there between Scotty and Spock. So I like that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Uhura reports the changing in the planet, right? And Kirk and Spock head to the bridge.
Yeah.
They were in the rec room, and now they're playing like 3D tic tac toe.
Right. Yes.
Everything like that. I love that game so much. Can I buy that?
Right, really, yes. So, and then Sulu and Lieutenant Riley step in.
Yes. But this is actually the first and only time we see steam coming out of the food replicator, right?
That's correct, yes.
Joe grabs his lunch and then itches his hand again. Like, what is going on? Yeah. Like little thing on his hand.
This hissing sound effect, like
something going on with his hand. Rattlesnake thing.
Yeah. He's sweating.
I called it the rattlesnake effect.
Rattlesnake. The rattlesnake effect, let's call it that. Yeah.
And so they're arguing about fencing, Sulu and Riley, right?
Right, they do.
Yeah, and he's like, Sulu's like, you really need to play and stuff. And they're talking to Joe as he's scratching his hand, and since he's not answering, Sulu nudges him a little bit, right? But Joe gets mad.
Gets mad.
He
gets
really mad.
He rants on about men are not supposed to be in space, and if they were supposed to be in space, they would have wouldn't need air to breathe. And,
Yeah, he claims that they have absolutely no business in space, and then he actually grabs a knife, points it at Sulu, but plot twist, he turns it around on himself.
Right, yes.
We're like, whoa, what? And they all jump to stop him, and they're all struggling and fighting, and then they all fall, and
Joe falls on the knife. Yeah.
Yeah, so Riley runs to the intercom, calls for help, as the little rattlesnake sound, the tongue twister, rattlesnake sound effect goes off. And
so that means Riley he is affected now as well, And by the way, this blood on Joey's chest, it looks like more than raspberry sauce or something like that. It does not look like blood.
It definitely does not look like blood.
Yeah.
It got the blood effect back then, I guess, or something.
Okay.
And the next scene, we see Enterprise orbiting the planet again, right? And Spock and Kirk and Sulu and Uhura and Riley, they're all seen on the bridge studying the planet. Condescending, right?
Yeah.
And Riley and Sulu, they're just sitting there at the con, and they're just scratching their hands as the rattlesnake effect begins playing again. And Spock and Kirk, they're reviewing the report of Joe's suicide attempt. They're like, what?
Yeah.
They're like, why? He was always level-headed, right? Or something. Or something like that. And then next we see Nurse Chapel and Bones in surgery on Joe, right?
Operating Joe in the Marvel Bay. But now we learn that Joe is dying, but he shouldn't.
Yeah, there's absolutely no reason.
His wounds are not that severe, but
they should.
Yeah.
Right.
He dies because he lost the will to live, apparently.
Apparently.
That's for me. This is one of the saddest Star Trek deaths, actually.
So.
Then. We're back to the bridge, and Kirk is ordered by Bones to the sick bay, and Sulu and Riley, they apparently sweat like a bridegroom, as Sulu puts it.
Yes.
Then Sulu leaves the bridge and leaves Riley alone at the controls, and Spock noticed that Sulu's not at his station, and he orders
jumps over the thing.
Eddie Paskey's character, which is... originally Lieutenant Leslie, but he calls him Rand here in this scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. That's true. I love how Riley's just slumped and like mindlessly pushing all the buttons. And like, it was really funny.
Yeah. And Bruce Hyde was an awesome, really talented actor, actually.
Yeah. Definitely.
He was at some point considered to be a series regular.
Oh, that's right. Him and was it Joe, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, and Joe.
I think it was before they decided to kill him, but
of course,
they were
considered
to be regular.
Stuart Moss, who played Joe Tromolin, actually appears in another episode.
Really?
Yeah, by any other name, he played Haynar.
Back from the dead.
Yeah. He played Haynar in,
That's cool.
This episode.
I didn't know that. I didn't know he ever appeared again.
Mm.
But I love it whenever Riley, he just breaks out into song and Spock's like, he relieves him right away. He's like, he ain't taking none of that trash. He's like, get out of here.
Yeah, true.
And then, but the sweet thing I love, ever so versatile, Uhura decides, or Spock orders her to take over. And as she's sitting down, I notice Spock hold the chair for her.
Right.
It's a little, like, spinning chair. And he just holds it for her as she sits down, and then he pushes her back into position. I thought that was that was really really detail, sweet of Spock.
He's a gentleman, right?
I love that. Of course. Right. So Spock calls Kirk to the bridge, and in the next scene we see a goofy looking Mr. Riley exiting the turbo lift. he saunters over and just taps the
casually
wall.
Strolling through the hallways,
exactly.
Just touching the walls and blowing against the doors. The sick bay doors as they open.
And he enters sick bay, and he smirks as he taps. I love how he does his little tap on Nurse Chapel's shoulder, like a little 2-year-old, and he starts telling her how beautiful she is as he touches her chin with his hand, and then we hear the little little rattlesnake sound effect. We know she's toast now.
She is.
Yes, that's unfortunate. But would you like to introduce the next scene? The scene of the show.
Let me find it here. Right. I have in caps lock before that scene, my favorite scene. It's actually the scene where Sulu is chasing Crewman with a sword in the hallway of the Enterprise.
Yes.
Enemies beware.
His deep voice and like all the little spray they put on him to look sweaty and nasty and Oh, I had to get another water break there.
George Takei really had fun playing in this part, actually. This
I bet.
He was really into this this scene. They even hired a fencing coach 3 weeks before filming started.
So, that is hilarious.
Yeah.
He sways it back and forth in the air, and then he finds two crewmen that he just loves to attack. He's like, I'm gonna attack him. And he like stomps his foot and he chuckles as he challenges them to a duel.
Yeah.
And then he chases them down the corridor and calls them cowards as he climbs up the little yellow ladder. Oh man, that was so
you either leave this place blooded or with your blood on mice. Something like that.
Yes. That's great. So, he did a very good job acting.
Yeah, actually, George Takei was given the choice between the weapon of choice in this scene.
Oh!
He could choose between a samurai sword and this fencing foil.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that part.
Writer of this episode, John D.F. Black, didn't specify the weapon in his script.
That's great. I love these little behind-the-scenes.
Yeah.
They're so great. I live for these behind-the-scenes. I don't know if I would appreciate shows as much as I did without behind-the-scenes.
Yeah, behind-the-scenes are everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you guys out there enjoyed it as well.
Yes, really. Let us know if y'all want
really know
more, less, I don't know, screw you if you want less.
Yeah.
Just kidding, of course. So, in the next scene, Kirk describes the symptoms of this little thing going around the ship as irrational and drugged.
Yeah.
But then, as he goes to leave, Sulu jumps out of the turbo lift and grabs Uhura, calling her a fair lady.
And to which she responds, sorry, neither.
And she pushes him away, allowing Kirk and Spock to work together to stop him. And Kirk asks Spock after he uses the Vulcan nerve pinch. He's teach me that sometime. But you know it's very funny. So just yesterday I was watching an episode of Voyager with my parents, and it's the episode where Kes gets inhabited by that man, I cannot remember the name, but she turns into this guy, and Lieutenant Paris and Tuvok are going down there to try to help her out. Well, Tuvok uses the Vulcan nerve pinch to stop a guy, And the funniest thing, I wasn't even very paying attention. I was all into my food, but
there okay. was as you always do.
Tom jumps up, and he's like, "You're gonna have to teach me sometime."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "What? Wait a minute! That's exactly what Kirk says."
Yes.
So I thought that was great. That was hilarious.
Probably not like, to this episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Because it was kind of like Kes was inhabited, everybody on the Enterprise was inhabited, it was the Vulcan and the human, and yeah, I just thought it was great. Nod to Voyager, shout out to them, I love them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
My second favorite show.
Love Voyager.
It's actually another fun fact behind, to this Vulcan nerve pinch thing. It was actually the first time we see Spock doing this in the original series, but he actually, the first time they filmed this was in The Enemy Within, the next episode. Because The Enemy Within was filmed before this episode, but aired after.
Oh, that's cool. So,
yeah.
First time Vulcan nerve pinch, lots of trivia about that, apparently.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's great. So let me find our place again. I got a little sidetracked there.
Yeah.
Right. So we see Captain Riley, as he calls himself, down in the engine room.
Captain Thomas Riley.
Man, Kirk gets so mad. He's like, "This is Captain Kirk." It's so funny.
The first order Captain Riley makes is double portions of ice cream for the entire crew. That's probably your favorite order of all
time.
That's
so great. I was like, yes! If I was on that crew, I'd be like, Captain Riley forever! Heck yeah, I follow him.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then he runs a little bit on about women's dressing and dress codes.
Right. So I love... before that, Spock shows obvious annoyance with Riley singing, which I thought was hilarious. He's like, internally, he just rolls his eyes. He's like, you know what? I can't do it with these humans. Anyway, but Riley, he asks the women to wear their hair loosely around
their shoulders.
And he mentions that women should restrain when putting on makeup.
Yeah.
He said women should not look made up. I thought that was like really showed how good of a character Riley was, how like all of their irrational things that's supposed to happen to them, and he asks women not to wear makeup because they should not look made up. So I just really appreciate that from Riley. I thought that was very sweet of him. So really like that.
And then he begins to sing.
Kirk, he's like, he's like, I cannot stand this.
I'll take you home again, Kathleen.
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 One of the next scenes, after that.
That's where I noted the end of the first half, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Point. Yeah.
Well, let's head straight to wherever we're going next.
I think next will be your dessert of the week.
Yes, my desserts of the week. Let's go. Yeah. Okay, so taking a break from the first half of the episode, Roman, introduce your dessert. What do you have for us today?
I have like this Jell-O today. It's green again. It's actually pretty delicious. I think you in the US you call it Jell-O. Similar stuff here in Germany. It's actually pretty great. So you can get it in different colors. We can get it in, I think it's yellow, green, red. Yeah, that's basically.
Yeah, I think it flavors strawberry.
Yeah, strawberry, raspberry.
I haven't had Jell-O in a long time.
Lemon, It's actually pretty great,
Have some again. Oh, you know what my dad likes doing though? He likes getting the little fruit cups of mandarin oranges and mixing it into his Jell-O as he's making it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And then he gets the orange Jell-O. And whenever he eats it, there's little pieces of oranges in there. So
that's cool.
That's his favorite thing to do. One time I snuck a little cherry into his cherry jello. I don't think he appreciated that one too much, but
yeah, maybe not.
But it was fun. Okay, guys, heading away from the delicious little jelly jello thing that Roman just introduced.
Yeah.
Sadly, we have to end that. But now we're jumping into the second half of the episode, right?
Yeah.
So, Roman, where are we now?
We are now in front of the engineering section where Scotty tries to get through the walls with
right.
this, yeah, with a phaser. Tries to cut through the walls to access the circuits of the door control.
So they can get the heck Riley out of there so they can get back to life.
Yeah.
You get life back, as Kirk puts it later.
And
I love this next scene where the guy's just cracking up while looking at this paintbrush. Like, I really relate to that guy. I don't even know why.
actually, another fun fact for this scene. In the original script, the crewman was supposed just to paint a mustache on Spock, but Leonard Nimoy didn't want to do the scene and wanted a deeper scene for Spock. So
for real?
He requested this. This.
That's so funny.
I love we'll see later. Yeah.
Right. So I love how Spock's just walking throughout the bridge, just yelling. I mean, not through the bridge, throughout the ship, just yelling at everybody he sees. He's like, Roman, what are you doing? Go to your post. Go to the sick wing. Get out of here. He's so annoyed, and it's so funny.
Yeah.
So he's heading to sick bay, right?
Yeah, he is. Spock arrives at sick bay, and where Nurse Chapel is waiting.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually infected as well with this unknown virus. And
she grabs his hand, and we hear the little rattlesnake
infects
effect.
Him as well,
we're like, right? Not Spock!
Not Spock.
No! Because we still don't know how the treatment for this, this, whatever it is, little rattlesnake effect thing. Are they going to die?
Yeah. So, then we see Spock just wandering through the hallways after Chapel confesses his her love for Spock and says how much she loves him. Then Spock eventually loses control over his emotions. And
Right. So a little behind the scenes about that, they had to sort of write this scene last minute, right?
Yeah, they do.
And Spock, Leonard Nimoy, actually wanted a more intense, as you stated earlier, scene rather than just the little mustache he gets painted on. Leonard Nimoy says it's about emotion versus logic, love versus mathematics, grief versus pi r squared. So saying that, after that, he has this very, very intense scene. What was it, in the briefing room?
It was in the briefing room, actually. Yes, that's true.
He's just, what is he repeating over and over again?
I'm in control of my emotions.
I am in
control of my emotions.
And he's just crying. And it's just a very, very deep scene. For Spock,
I don't know what you was about to say.
He only had one chance to film the scene,
right,
because they're getting to the end of
filming day, right?
Recording time.
Yeah.
Right. So I thought on his first take, he nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
Yeah. And the scene really shows where his human side and his Vulcan side fighting against each other.
Exactly.
Trying
exactly.
to regain control of over his emotions. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Right. So Kirk finally finds him. And he's regretting his inability to tell his mom that he just loves her so much, that he appreciates her so much. And Kirk actually just slaps him in the face.
Yeah. Tries to
and
the state he's in.
He throws Kirk backwards over a table, but that actually infects him now.
Right.
Kirk, I was like, no.
Kirk realizes he's caught the disease and now feels physically attracted to the Enterprise. Actually, where's my ship?
He's hilarious. That's Jim, though. I would not expect anything less.
The brilliance of William Shatner's acting.
Yes. Yes. As Kirk makes his way back to the bridge, he's just mumbling, "Never lose you, never."
Yeah. Then he enters the turbo lift, and on the inside of the turbo lift doors are written some words: "Sinners repent." <It's> like, why?
Calm down here, but
probably the same guy who actually.
The crack. Love mankind guy.
on the walls.
Guy so much. He speaks to me. That's hilarious. He for some reason has blood on his mouth, so just wipes it away. ever dramatic Kirk. So he goes back onto the bridge, and Bones is there, who rips his shirt. Well, of course, just
casually
just rips his shirt every open. Episode, you know.
As we see later in the episode, the hypo can be applied through clothing, so it's just for dramatic effect.
Exactly. He was probably like, "Rip my shirt, please! I gotta rip it."
I love my shoulders. Please rip my shirt.
Yes. He takes his seat after that, he mumbles some orders, whatever they are, and, finally a cured Sulu is, able to, plot a escape route, if you will, from the planet.
In the engine room, Scotty and Spock are figuring out, a way to apply this intermix formula.
Mm-hmm.
And then the engines implode.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're traveling faster than it's possible for normal space.
I wonder how fast they did go.
Yeah. Fast enough to travel back in time a few days.
Yeah, that's 3 days. Crazy.
They traveled back in time and 72 hours.
Actually, I'm reading about time travel right now in my Star Trek physics book, which I have yet to show everybody.
Yeah.
I want to do that soon. I want to show that. I'm actually taking physics right now from Star Trek, which I thought incredibly cool. Like a dream course for school. So I'm loving that right now, honestly. Yeah. It's so great.
So then Spock says... this does open some intriguing prospects, Captain. Since the formula worked, we can go back in time to any planet, any era. And then Kirk says, yes, we may risk it someday, Mr. Spock.
Yeah.
I never did.
Someday.
In the original series, but.
Yes. We'll talk about that too soon. Could.
Then Sulu lays in a course, and Kirk says, steady as we go. As she goes.
Yes.
That's actually the end of the episode.
Yes, love that episode.
Yes, now we're through with the episode. So, that's it. You have your quizzes ready.
Okay, quiz number one. Nurse Chapel's first words were?
First words questions. I can't remember, I think.
Bonus if you know who they were said to.
I think they were said to McCoy.
Yes.
Yeah, while they operate Joe, I think.
Yes, it was something like that. But her exact words were, "The lab status report, doctor."
Ah, okay.
So
that's cool. Yeah.
You get half a point for that one.
Okay.
Okay. So this one you mentioned earlier, but yeah. Let's see if anybody remembers or if you remember. So along with the M113 creature from the episode The Man Trap and the two later Gorn costumes in the episode Arena, what souvenir did Bob Justman take from this episode?
Ah, right. Yeah, I remember that one. That was the puppet from the research station on the planet.
Yes, so, the dead woman's...
Yeah, the dead woman's body. Yeah,
yeah, or mannequin's body.
Yeah, mannequin.
Yes, right, so... Yeah. You have 1.5 points so Yay. Far. Quiz number 3. Naota Ahura, Christine Chapel, and Janice Rand didn't appear together until when?
So they appear in this episode, of course, together.
Yes, but they don't appear
until the motion picture, actually, together.
Yes,
again. Yeah.
They don't appear again together until... all the way to the motion picture, which is pretty interesting. I never see them again together
in an episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are my 3 quizzes. Roman, you got a 2.5.
I'm satisfied with that. That's okay.
Yes.
How many do you know. Did you yeah. get? Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That is definitely no. So let's talk about our favorite quotes from the episode. What's your favorite, Sid?
So I have a couple.
Okay.
Definitely one of my the funny ones is by Kevin Thomas Riley to the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And now, crew, your captain will render an ancient Irish favorite. I'll take you home again, Kathleen.
Yeah. He begins to sing. I'll take you home again, Kathleen.
So horribly too.
Yeah. I'm not in tune at all.
What's one of your favorites?
My favorite has to be this iconic one by Scotty, the second half of the episode. He says, I cannot change the laws of physics. I got to have 30 minutes.
Yes.
That's iconic.
Yes. Isn't it? I love it.
Yeah.
Yes. So I feel like my second favorite would be... And now, crew, I will render Kathleen one more time.
Please not again. Kirk's reaction to that.
Kirk's not again. Oh, boy, yes. Yeah. Do you have another favorite, Roman?
I have, of course, but you said that before. It was actually another one by Scotty. Unless you people on the bridge start taking showers with their clothes on, my engineers can pull us out of anything, yeah.
Yes. So
that's a pretty good one.
He was so funny. And
Scotty's
for my
so
next one, I love, this is from Sulu to Uhura. Sulu is like, I'll protect you, fair maiden. Yeah. And Uhura's like, sorry, neither.
Yeah.
I love that one.
So now our favorite quotes from the episode. If you have some, let us know. What are your favorite quotes?
Yeah, definitely. So, Roman, overall, what did you think about this episode? Rate it from a 1 to 10.
From 1 to 10. I think it's definitely one of my favorites, as you said before. I have to give it probably between 8 or 9. I think 8.5 would be a good rating.
That's exactly what, exactly what I was thinking. 8.5. 9. I was like, I don't know. I love this one so much.
So,
yeah, definitely. All right, guys. So that was The Naked Time. Please let us know how much you loved this episode, how much you thought it was just okay, or even if you hated it, which is weird if you did. But let us know on Instagram and Twitter, The Galileo 3. Just drop us a comment in the post we will make about this episode. Next week, we will be reviewing The Enemy Within. Excited for that one. So,
me too.
So just hope you guys have a good week and see y'all later.
See you later.